This morning we're going to pick up a few of the words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Last week we looked at that sequence where Jesus talked about asking and seeking and knocking and how we grow our connection to the Father who we're asking, we grow our connection to Jesus who we're seeking, and we continue to knock to invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us again. So we're going to pick up the story just after that as Jesus concludes this teaching in Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 this morning. We'll be touching on some of the other words in chapter 7 as well. So let me read Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. This is Jesus speaking to the crowds again and inviting them to follow him. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, I wonder how often you undertake the discipline of confession. I don't want a show of hands to confess how many times you undertake the discipline of confession or not. But they say it's good for the soul, don't they? Is that what they say? Confession is good for the soul. And particularly on a communion Sunday, a confession is especially good for the soul as we prepare ourselves to eat and drink together. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have had a car accident that was your fault? See, confession is good, isn't it? Okay, you can put your hand down. There's no insurance risk assessor here, so you're okay admitting that it was your fault, okay? Because when you have an accident, do this insurance company still tell you, never admit it's your fault? Do they say that? How can a Christian ever do that when it is death? So well done this morning for confessing that you have had an accident and it was your fault. Now, I've had three accidents in my driving career, and all of them have been with stationary objects. Because I don't drive fast enough to hit a moving vehicle or anything like that. So anything that's stationary, I have a habit of hitting. And all three of my accidents, I have hit bollards. It was before the days of cars that beeped. Do you know? Have you got a car that beeps when you reverse now? Some of you got a beep when you go forward. Some of you have got a camera in the car now so you can see what's behind you. Is that right? So you can see who you're hitting before you hit them, which is, I think, a really helpful thing to do. But yeah, so stationary objects have been my thing. And they say, the insurance companies say, that most accidents are caused by being distracted or doing something other than concentrating on driving. Could that be a cause of one of your accidents? In fact, they say that failing to look properly is the most common cause of car accidents in the United Kingdom. It accounts for almost a third of car accidents that happen every single year in the United Kingdom. Now, failing to look properly is the most often excuse or reason, followed by the use of mobile phones, which I know none of you use mobile phones, then followed by applying makeup. I've done that a few times, and I'll tell you, it really is a problem. And then the other reason is insects in your car. Have you ever had a bee or a fly? Yeah, so those are the reasons. So please, look properly, never use your mobile phone, apply the makeup before you get in the car, and keep the windows closed. I think those are my tips for avoiding accidents. My segue into saying something sensible to you this morning is that I think one of the big challenges of followers of Jesus is keeping our eyes fixed on him. If you review your life and your journey as a follower of Jesus, I expect, like me, you will notice times when you've got distracted from following him. When you haven't quite followed at his pace or gone his way because other things have distracted you and caught your attention. And you've lost your focus on walking the path that Jesus invited you to walk when he called you to follow. And Jesus was well aware of this danger. Because whenever he spent time to teach his followers, he made it clear what the choices were, which I think is really helpful. The narrow gate or the wide gate? Listening to people who look like sheep but are wolves? A good tree and a bad tree, good fruit and bad fruit, true and false disciples, wise and foolish, rock and sand. Here's the choice. I'm aware they're binary choices, but I guess it has to be, doesn't it? Because you're either following Jesus or you're not following Jesus because you've been distracted and decided to go your own way or try and build your life in a way that you think is a lot better than his way. And so this clarity that Jesus wants to bring to how we can grow as followers of Jesus is so clear that sometimes perhaps we do miss it because of the distractions that often come our way. Now, our text for this year, as you all know, is grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The invitation for us to fix our eyes on Jesus so that he becomes the source of the growth. And the choices we make will lead to growth rather to, as our reading said, to destruction. And so I just want to lay out a few choices, a few distractions that perhaps we have, that we're in danger of having, that come straight from our text this morning. Of course, when God spoke through Moses and offered the people a choice, it was life or death. And he urged them to choose life. That was his entreaty to them. His loving voice to them was, there's life and death before you, but I long for you to choose life. But as we know, in their journey, it took many twists and turns, and they made their own choices along the way. And whilst they were heading for death, Jesus came and again offered life and made it possible for us to enjoy life if we were just fix our eyes on him. And so we have the same choice today as we too keep our journey following him and growing in our likeness to him. So the first choice Jesus gives us is the distraction of wide gates. There's a narrow gate, there's a wide gate. The distraction is the wide gate looks more enticing and is much easier to go through. And I think what he's talking about here is the distraction the world offers to us. If you've been a follower for any length of time, you'll know how tough it is at times to keep focused on the call of Jesus to follow, because the wide gate is inviting and it is much easier. The narrow gate, by virtue of its size, is much more challenging and requires much more effort to go through. Now, in the city of Jerusalem, and obviously in the walls around it, there were many, many gates, many entrance points to get into the city. All the roads that led to Jerusalem were very wide and well traveled by many, many different people. But as that road narrowed, it was hard to get through the narrow gate that it ended in. People were fighting their way to get through it. The sheep and the camels and goats were all trying to get into this narrow route, having had the experience of a wide road and then moving into the narrow place. It's a bit like driving on the D road for me. You know the D road, the A500, you know that? It sort of bends around Newcastle, Stoke-on-Trent, everywhere else. And when we first moved here, I fell foul of the D road many times. I often got caught travelling in the outside lane and often leaving it too late to get off at the junction that I really wanted to get off at. And so I had no choice but just to carry on. Distracted by so many signs, distracted by so many things, and obviously distracted by Stoke-on-Trent while I was driving through it. But it's so easy, isn't it, And it occurred to me, narrow the road to Festival Park, but wide the road to Burslem. Because if you miss the Festival Park turning, you end up in Burslem, don't you? You've done that, have you? Have you done that? It's a small gate and a narrow road that leads to life, and only a few find it, Jesus says. But we have a God who stands at the entrance to the narrow road and the small gate, who invites us in. And when we get into that place, it leads to a spacious place. A bit like the entrance to a secret garden where you have to get on your knees and you have to crawl under, and suddenly you're out in the spaciousness of this vast garden before you. A bit like the wardrobe in Narnia, don't you think? Squeezing through all that's hanging there, but moving out into this incredible place. It was God who urged Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of life, who urged the people of Israel to choose life, who came to earth and urges us to choose life in all its fullness here and now. There's a verse in Job chapter 36 and verse 16. It's spoken to Elihu. He wasn't one of the three Job's comforters. He was another character, a younger man. Well worth reading what he had to say. But in 36:16, this is what Elihu says to Job. He, God, is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. I love that verse. Do you love that verse? What a beautiful image of what is ahead of those who choose the narrow way. Perhaps Burslem is better than I thought it was. Maybe not. But he's standing there. Don't get distracted by the wide road, will you? Because there's a narrow place for us to live that leads to life. Distraction two, Jesus talks about our false teachers. It's hard for a preacher to talk about false teachers, but I'll talk about them. If the first distraction is the world, the second is religion. And once again, Jesus gives us a startling contrast and a simple choice. The false teachers may look like gentle sheep, but they're ferocious wolves. Just look at the fruit that they're showing from their lives. Their character, what does their character look like? What does their consistency look like? The warning from Jesus reminds us that we need to be people who weigh things up carefully rather than accepting everything without thinking. Some things people do and say are not right. They don't lead to life. And we will have to be very clear about who we listen to and what we accept and what we embrace in our own lives as well. All of us are going to be influences in some way to somebody, but we can also be influenced as well. And so I think Jesus is saying to us, take great care. Weigh up the people that you listen to, the people that you follow. Maybe more so than ever in this generation with social media and the expanse of information on the internet. But let's be careful who or what influences us. And let's be sure that we choose to follow the right direction. See, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who looks like they're saying the right things, dressing the right way. But everyone who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Doing the things he invites us to do. Doing the things the Father asks us to do. Of course, Jesus walked that way, didn't he? His time in the garden when he was wrestling, God, not my way, but your will be done. And he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. That's how he fulfilled his mission. That's how he kept moving towards the cross. That's how we were able to gain life. These words of Jesus are a chilling judgment on people who wear a mask. Literally, hypocrites is the Greek word. Read Matthew chapter 23 for more of what Jesus has to say. People who dress up and look like followers, but underneath are only in it for themselves. And Jesus says, Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Let's not be distracted by false teachers. Let's be people who are intent on growing good fruit. Certain that getting the applause of God is far better than getting the applause of people. We were made for God's pleasure. Let's determine not to be distracted from fulfilling that purpose. And the third distraction I think Jesus wants to talk to us about is poor foundations. Our first distraction is the world around us. The second distraction is religion. The third one is much more personal. It's about how we will grow our lives by what we build our lives on. In this parable that I hope many of you I know will know, it's only when the rain and the wind come that we know what the house is built on and whether it's going to stand or not. When we met last week, when we had lunch together and we had some questions around the table about what it is that's helped you to grow as a follower of Jesus, I was very intrigued that several of you had put hardship had helped you grow. When the wind and the rain have come into your life, but instead of collapsing your life, they've helped you to grow your life because you've had a firm foundation to stand on. You haven't been distracted by building your life on sand. And foundations are our responsibility. The church can help, the small group can help, but it's only us who can ensure that we're standing on solid ground and building our life on Him, to make our choices and our decisions upon what Jesus offers us, and to build life on Him and Him alone. I think there are a couple of dangers for us when it comes to foundations. Firstly, for some of us, it's the danger of relying on our Christian heritage to be the foundation. Other people's faith, who we've grown up with, a family faith that we've been part of in our routines. But our foundations need attention. They need strengthening every single day. So what we build today will stand the test of time for the tomorrow when the storms come. When Paul wrote to the people in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 10, he said, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. Build the right foundations." The second danger, I think, is for people who have a past and haven't dealt with it. When someone comes to faith in Jesus, of course, the first thing they do is seek forgiveness. That's what we invite people to do, to seek forgiveness, to turn away from the past, to repent. The Bible tells us we need to confess those sins, just as we did at the beginning. And when we do, God will forgive us. The past is no barrier to coming home. The past is no barrier to building a life. But it takes a deliberate choice to turn away from that, to turn away from what it is that will damage the foundations. And we turn towards the one who will keep us strong. If our foundations are built on sand, we need to clear that sand away and build again on the solid rock that is Jesus. To ask again for forgiveness. To seek reconciliation where we're able to. To seek restitution if that is possible as well. And to look towards the Father who still welcomes us home. So I wonder if you have any distractions this morning. If things are grabbing your attention more than Jesus is grabbing your attention. If again this morning you just need to fix your eyes on Him again. To turn your head, to turn your life towards Him once more. Maybe there are pressures in the world that are dragging you away to the wide gate, inviting you towards it, and you've drifted in your journey. Or perhaps it is religion that has just become such a routine that you've lost the life that Jesus came to bring you. Or maybe it is the foundation that your life is on at the moment. And when we build on Him, then whatever comes, we will still be standing. This morning, as we gather around this table, we have an opportunity again to focus on Him. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 2:2, said this, "I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's solid ground, isn't it? Whatever happens, just to know that He is there. The bread and drink this morning, they remind us that Jesus chose the narrow way, the hard way, that in the distractions He faced, the temptations He wrestled with in the garden, followers who denied Him and betrayed Him, the cup of suffering that He could have avoided, the one-sided trial, the abuse, the ridicule, the pain, but He kept His focus on you and me. The joy set before Him, He endured the cross. So fix your eyes on him this morning. And as we eat and drink together, don't be distracted. This is what Jesus Christ did for you. And in this act of remembering, may this be a moment of decision, of recommitment, to say, I'm going the narrow way. I'm going the same way as Jesus. I'm going to build my life on the solid foundation that he has given for me.